Welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 11, the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of the psychological thriller film Primrose Lane and the continuing episodic series The Passage. I'm the filmmaker Kathleen Davison, and I'm here with two paranormal investigators today, Chris Turner and Pamela Beatty. Now, in our last episode, and I'll stop right now and say, if you haven't tuned in, if you're just joining us, you want to go back to the very beginning, because this is a serial story that we're telling, and we don't want to ruin it for you. So you can go to Primrose Lane movie on Facebook and scroll down into the comments, and you'll see all of the links there if that's where you found us. Now, as we continue on, in our last episode, we were joined by Patty. Patty and Pamela talked to us about their investigation that comes from the spiritual realm of understanding. And now we're going to turn back to Chris Turner, who came in with his team and a very scientific approach.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for joining us.
I'm roaring to go here.
And what's going to be kind of fun that we didn't have when we did the investigation, because they were completely separate, this time we get to share the scientific investigation and have Pamela give us a little input. Maybe she can dial in. And you can stop us at any point, Pamela, because the way she works, things come to her, so we don't know when they'll come.
She's a freak, is what she's saying.
Super freak. We love her. So you can signal if at any point you feel that you have something to add as we describe that investigation. This will be cool. Okay, so Chris shows up with his team of five investigators, and there's an additional team member, the historian, who worked in the post of this, but who was not there for the actual investigation. Anything you want to add as we get started here, Chris?
Yeah, actually, after we completed the walkthrough of this location, I handed over our historian all the information regarding the location and any type of city-related information that we could have acquired during the walkthrough. And then basically what she does is she goes through all records known, and she comes up with a compilation of information that perhaps the homeowner, the client, and we, you know, have no idea of what actually was going on at that location.
And it couldn't be more specifically, more specifically opposite of Pamela's approach, which is she wants to come in with basically no, right? Am I correct, Pamela?
Right.
You want nothing to influence.
Yeah. Nothing. Absolutely. I want no conscious knowledge of anything I'm about to see.
Okay. So Chris and his team show up. And one of the first things that they did was we were getting electromagnetic reads, and we actually, that turned out to be a debunking situation where we found that there was some current situation in and it was on along the staircase, and we've established there's a lot of activity there, which turns out to be a fluky coincidence that, now, it could, with a high electromagnetic read, influence people's experience, right?
That can affect there's still studies going on right now how high frequencies can contribute to being nervous, feeling like you're being followed, you know, stuff like that. So they're kind of still out on that, but from what I've seen, that is a pretty good contributor to those type of symptoms.
Now, that said, it didn't dismiss a lot of our experiences.
Absolutely.
Including things that he was able to document with their equipment.
Yeah, with the equipment, we would be able to single out where the faulty or the anomaly would be. The things that we cannot explain is when these anomalies occur unexpectedly in areas where there's no electricity, where communication's being conducted, and you're getting voices. So that's where we need to focus on when we start doing our investigation. So if we want, we can start covering some of the experiences that the team members...
Yeah, I want to jump in. As we ascended the staircase, first we got this electromagnetic read, which we debunked as being just a normal occurrence. And the next thing we got, at the top of the staircase, we had the temperature drop significantly. And it was in a very specific space. If you moved, you know, a foot or two to the left or to the right, the temperature went back up. So that, I certainly couldn't, from a layman's perspective, understand how that was possible in our scientific understanding.
Yeah, actually,
of the way
we had
works.
All the windows closed. We had the air conditioning off. I mean, there was no forced air of any kind going on there, which actually helps us contain and help us contain the environment so we can any anomalies stand out a lot greater.
So,
you know?
So did that strike you at that point? Did you go, hey, this is tipping towards?
Yeah. Well, doing investigating as long as I have, it takes more than just one little thing. But like Pamela, I believe, was saying, is you must not overlook the little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start dismissing everything, then there's going to be an issue, because that means that you're actually not being true to the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're completely dismissing everything for something. So with the temperature range dropping in certain locations, and I know we use this technique, it's the flashlight communication technique. I know out in the community it's kind of hands, you know, people are wishy-washy on that regarding the temperature fluctuation. The reflector might contribute to the light coming on and stuff like that. But from what we experienced, it was definitely a controlled
mm-hmm.
manipulation of the flashlight.
Well, I want to get to the flashlights. So when I've seen this technique used on shows, I always think, well, that's the easiest thing to manipulate or edit or rig.
Yeah.
So I certainly had difficulty buying into that. That is a plausible technique until I experienced it firsthand. So let me share with you what my experience was. And mind you, this was an hours-long investigation, so we can only give you a few of the highlights of it. But one of them, one of the first really awesome flashlight experiments that Chris did is he set up three flashlights on a bookshelf, and they were different colors. I believe we had a red one, a silver one, a purple one, or a blue one. And Chris, you know, we waited when we sensed that there was something there, when the flashlight went on, and they're adjusted, so it would take, you know, the tiniest sensitivity to turn it on or off. And when we had a flashlight go on, Chris would launch into a battery of test questions to try to see if we were having an intelligent communication back and forth. And it was hard if you're, you know, a spectator to this, because you're going, oh, just launch into something. We got something. Roll with it. And sometimes when these entities would come through, they'd be there very briefly. So it was so frustrating. But what I really admired is that Chris always had this scientific process first. So the first thing he would do is say, is that you? Are you there? And the flashlight would have to turn off or another one turn on in response. And he would ask a battery of, I want to say, no less than 3 to 5 mm-hmm. questions. Is
yeah.
that accurate?
Yeah, typically.
So things like, he would say, thank you. Can you turn that off for me? And the flashlight would go off. Thank you. Okay, could you turn on the red flashlight for me? And he'd get very specific. So you got to a point where you were satisfied. There's definitely something here. This isn't just some fluky thing. Now, in the case of the very first hit that we had, we were upstairs in the upstairs landing. We were sitting on the couch. The flashlights were on a bookshelf. When we established through this battery of test questions that we had an intelligent being communicating with us, Chris asked a number of questions, and he established that we were speaking with a woman, that she had lived at some point in the house, that she was fond of the children, and that she was she fancied herself a protector to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And that she understood that she was not their mother. She understood that I was their mother, but it was still very clear that her interest was very largely the children. Chris, is there anything more that you wanted to add to just that communication with her?
Well, what was very interesting, you need to remember that at this point, Pamela and the team haven't spoken a word of this case whatsoever. And after this battery of questions, and we used other equipment, we used some other pieces like the K2 meter and stuff like that. And it was responding, you know, along with the flashlight. But what was very interesting about that was I remember.
And really quick, this was also the same area where we had the temperature flux.
Yeah.
And that was why we chose to focus on, okay, let's set up here. Let's do the first investigation here.
It was also by the children's bedroom,
it was,
too.
It was
so
right
that
outside.
That was one of the biggest focus points there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't getting a lot of anomalies in the children's room. Mm-hmm. So we started going into, it was like a mezzanine or whatever that top room you had there. We decided to take a break, which is typically normal during.
Wait, really quick before you get to the break. Uh-huh. I want to stay on point here, because what happened was we had this exchange that seemed to go on for about 15 minutes. We were so excited, and then when it left, We stop, we turn on the lights, we go to check. This is the whole thing. We've got audio equipment going, video equipment going. He's got his EMF stuff going, yeah. the temperature stuff going, the flashlights are going. We checked the camera, so excited that we got this amazing segment, and the camera was totally dead. And all of the equipment had been charged and double-checked, triple-checked prior to the investigation, but it had gone totally dead. And again, this is something you see a lot if you watch any of these investigative shows where the power will be, just be completely drained. And before we move on to what you're about to tap into, Chris, and what happened next, I want to turn to Pamela, because we didn't have a Pamela there. And I'm wondering, since we weren't able to actually capture that video footage, we were there firsthand. I know it happened. Chris knows it happens. There's a team of people that all had the same experience. Pamela, did you feel anything as we were sharing this story with you? Do you have any, and it's okay if you don't, do you have anything you want to contribute to maybe understand who we were dealing with?
Well, you were dealing with several people. Mm. You weren't just dealing with
one. So it wasn't just the woman.
No, it wasn't just the woman. Because I saw three or four people in that mezzanine kind of area standing there kind of in a circle. And yeah, because what they just, I know it sounds funny, but what they just told me in my head was we weren't doing it on purpose, because telepathically I just asked them, like, did you guys do that to the camera on purpose? Did you not want it heard? And they're like, they all look at me like, no, we wanted them to hear us. We didn't care. We wanted them to record it. And it was just simply their overwhelming energy that blocked the camera.
Well, it's interesting that you were acknowledging there being more than one entity, because one of the things that also happened during that session, and I did not breathe a word of it initially at the time, was I was sitting on a couch, and as Chris is conducting this, essentially an interview with this, what seemed to be a woman, it felt like a hand grazed my inner thigh. Very close to my girl parts, folks. And I was so uncomfortable that I'm kind of embarrassed. I didn't say anything at the time. It wasn't until later that evening, and we're going to circle back to this point, but it's fascinating to me that you just acknowledged that there were more than one entity. Mm-hmm. We're going to circle back because something very similar happened later, and so finally I did share my experience. But I want to jump to what Chris was trying to get to, which is immediately after we had this experience and being incredibly deflated that it wasn't caught on camera, we took a break. We all needed a breather. Yeah. So the whole team went down to the kitchen, but Chris left a camera. He turned he put a new camera on, new battery, and he left a camera running while we went on break. And Chris, do you want to share what you caught?
Actually, we could save that for the reveal if you really want to.
Nah, tell him now.
Okay.
Tell him now.
All right. We'll
wait, drum roll.
Drum roll. What happened was we all went downstairs, and you could clearly hear us in the kitchen. You know, I believe you guys were giving us ice cream, know, which was really good. But I had left the camera on and the flashlights and all the other equipment. I had re-engaged them into that situation. And during the reveal, or during the review of this video, we captured a bang, which was recorded by, I believe, the individual that was living upstairs in that room.
Crystal.
Mm-hmm. And we also captured high heels, like a boot, walking up the stairs across the room. And when it walked across the room, the flashlight turned on. The flashlight turns off, and then you can clearly hear the steps walking back across the wood floor.
And down the steps.
And down the steps.
Yeah.
And down the steps.
It was receding.
Now, if you remember, your staircase has the runner, and it's really thick.
It's carpeted.
Yeah,
it's carpeted. So there was no, and it does sound, the resonance sounds like a boot on hardwood.
Yeah, which was absolutely amazing, because it was another way of being able to solidify the session that we were conducting earlier regarding the female. So that was an absolute positive.
And during that same break, while the team was in the kitchen, everybody heard an audible child cry. And this was similar. I recognized the voice myself because I had heard it before. It sounds like a toddler. I had heard the child upstairs in what is the library of the home say mama once to me, and the whole team heard the child cry. And this was late at night, and you could tell, like I said, it wasn't something that was even about catching it on equipment. We all heard it, and it was very clear that it was coming from within the home, and there were no children in the home. So
We still have more to share.
And
we're going to have to invite you back for another episode,
absolutely,
Mr. Chris
Turner.
Absolutely. So please join us next week. We're going to have Chris back along with Pamela, and we're going to talk more about that investigation by his team. Thank you. Please tune in. Primrose Lane Movie on Facebook. Please like us. You can find Pamela at thehollywoodsage.com. And Chris Turner, you can just search him and you'll find him. You'll find him. Join us next week. Thank you.